You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson.
And I'm Judith Sears Poisson. Coming up, talking about politics, especially with family, has become fraught over the last couple of years. We'll talk to a UW student and an author about how we can overcome those political divides.
First, Amazon recently wrapped up a year-long contest to choose the second location for its headquarters and a promise of 50,000 jobs. In the end, there were two winners, New York City and Crystal City, Virginia, which is just outside of Washington, D.C.
That came after applications from hundreds of cities that included offers of tax incentives and other perks, similar to Wisconsin's deal with tech manufacturer Foxconn that could cost the state over $4 billion.
According to the Brookings Institution, American cities and states spend about $45 and $90 billion each year on tax breaks and other financial incentives for private companies. In the wake of the Amazon contest, many are asking if the bidding wars for employers have gotten out of hand and if there's a better way to compete for jobs.
Henry Grabar is a staff writer for Slate. He's been covering this story. Henry, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much. Great to be here.
The Amazon HQ2 contest has been a long time in the works. Can you briefly take us through how that process played out and some of the offers we saw cities put on the table?
Sure. So last fall, Jeff Bezos and Amazon announced that they would be opening a second headquarters, saying basically that they had outgrown Seattle, where the company has been based since it formed in the mid-1990s. And they asked cities and states to bid for the second headquarters. They said they didn't know where they wanted to go, and they got something like, I think, between 200 and 300 applications from cities and states in the United States and Canada. And some of the perks that were offered were really quite ridiculous. I mean, we're talking, first of all, about the level of subsidy that was offered. Maryland offered $8.5 billion. New Jersey offered something on that level. Philadelphia offered almost $6 billion. And then you had some sort of more kind of eccentric perks that were offered. For example, Atlanta offered a private car on the MARTA transit system for Amazon employees and a special lounge for executives at the Atlanta airport. So it was generally a kind of, I think, pretty embarrassing spectacle for America's mayors and governors as they, sort of groveled at the feet of the world's richest man to bring jobs to their towns, and the result was announced a couple weeks ago. Sort of leaked out that Amazon was in fact going to be opening two branch offices in New York and just outside of Washington D.C. in Arlington, Virginia.
And was that a surprise at all, Henry?
Well, I think that to begin with, we weren't really sure what Amazon wanted out of this competition. I think it's easy to look back in retrospect and say, well, they did what every other company does, which is they were expanding and they opened, rather than a second headquarters, they basically opened two large regional branch offices in the two cities with the largest number of tech workers in the United States, the nation's government, capital of government, and the nation's capital of finance. I mean, in some ways, it makes perfect sense. In other ways, I think there was some sense that maybe Amazon was looking for the biggest subsidy that they would receive, and that didn't end up being the case. And there was also some sense that maybe Amazon was looking to create a kind of company town or do some sort of, maybe revitalize a city that had experienced population or job loss, and they didn't do that either. But that was, there was plenty of speculation about that. So I don't know if, maybe Amazon knew from the start that they were going to come to New York and Washington, and they just needed to, stir up this competition to get some nice tax breaks out of it. But I'm not sure that they really had their minds made up when they announced this.
We're talking with Henry Grabar. He's a staff writer for Slate, and he's been covering the story of Amazon's search and decision for where they would put their second headquarters. It turns out that they are going to split that between New York City and Crystal City, Virginia. Henry, something we hear from public officials is that without public incentives like these that are offered, a state or a city will miss out on economic opportunity. But you write that that's not necessarily the case. What did you find when you crunched those numbers?
Well, I guess one thing to say is that I think everyone agrees that we would all be better off if this race to the bottom system didn't exist and cities and states weren't constantly undercutting each other and undermining their own systems of taxation to fund public services by sort of pleading with these companies and cutting them deals and announcing tax breaks and so on. That said, since that's not the world we live in, and the world we live in is one where cities and states are free to make the best offer that they can, officials like New York's Governor Andrew Cuomo say that if we don't offer subsidies, companies won't come. And there are a couple arguments against that. One, in the case of a relocation like Amazon's, is that Amazon wanted to come to New York anyway. They clearly didn't make a decision based on where the largest subsidy was, and that New York just didn't drive a hard enough bargain with the company. The second argument is that even though the subsidies are taken out of future Amazon tax revenue, which is to say we're cutting them a deal on the future taxes that they pay, we're not giving them money right off the bat, that wouldn't have been necessary because that labor and that land that go into that Amazon deal now would have wound up being used by some other company for something else. And it's just that it's very hard to predict who's going to form a company in the next 5 years. And so, you know, officials will say that a deal like Amazon was the only way to get this company. And maybe that's true, but that ignores the opportunity cost, which is what happens if instead, you know, we spend that construction grant on a scholarship program at the local university and the next Jeff Bezos winds up coming out of Queens College.
Looking at these incentive packages, we are certainly very aware of them recently here in Wisconsin with the package that was used to lure Taiwan's Foxconn to the state. Also, there's an effort in the legislature to provide incentives for Kimberly-Clark to keep a facility open here. Is it something that has been snowballing recently, or have these kind of incentives been around for a long time but just kind of maybe flying a little more under the radar?
They have been around for a long time. You know, from year to year, they tend to vary. Every so often, a mega deal like Foxconn will come along. But by and large, they occur on a much smaller scale. Like in New York, for example, which is the nation's leader in business subsidies, they tend to happen almost as of right. Like if a company, you know, all a company has to do is make a few visits to a few offices across the river in New Jersey, and then they can go to the governor and say, we'd like to, you know, we're thinking about moving to New Jersey. How can you sweeten the deal for us? And, you know, it's companies like the New York Times, and the New York Times isn't going to move to New Jersey. So to some extent, they've been around for a long time. We've also seen this with sports franchises, of course, which will threaten to move if they don't get a municipality or a county or a state to pay for their new stadium. I think what is changing primarily right now is not the number of incentives being doled out, but that they're becoming increasingly well-publicized and they're becoming increasingly unpopular. And so I think if you look at a deal, you know, we now have a longer record of incentives to rely on when economists say that these are not effective economic development policies. So that research is being built on a better foundation. And I think that the public is also getting a little bit tired of these deals. I think it comes at a time when, you know, a few months after this enormous corporate tax cut, where people feel like, wait a second, why should we be giving this multinational corporation a big break?
Well, and at a recent demonstration in New York City against the Amazon deal, City Council member Jimmy Van Bramer spoke to the crowd, and here's a listen.
We have a public housing crisis. Just this morning, several residents contacted us to say there's no heat in Queensbridge. But somehow, folks who consider themselves progressive Democrats have seen fit to throw $3 billion at the richest man in the world.
And you covered that rally, Henry. What else did you hear from people opposing the deal?
There was a lot of rhetoric like that. I think, you know, in the case of New York, I think it also reflects the fact that a lot of these councilmen and state senators were left out of the negotiating room. And so to some extent, they just feel a little bitter, I think, that they weren't the ones involved. As I said, New York State has been giving out subsidies for businesses for everything for decades. And while, you know, reporters sometimes make a fuss about it, politicians generally have not. So I think that that was partly what was reflected there. But I also think that, you know, they have a point. When you look at the subsidies that New York gave out compared to the subsidies Virginia gave out, there's a sense that New York made a more generous offer. And I think New Yorkers, New York politicians who think of their city as one of the highest taxed places in the nation, and those high taxes go to pay for excellent public services and public amenities that wind up luring in companies like Amazon, they look at New York giving more generous subsidies than Virginia, and they say, this was not a good deal for the state. And obviously it comes at a time when New York is, on the one hand, sort of at the peak of its power, record employment, record population, and on the other, at a time when in New York, and I think in America in general, the widening inequality between the haves and the have-nots is increasingly visible, and it draws deals like this into the spotlight. And I think politicians see this as symbolic of larger issues in American society. And so even if initially polls like Jimmy Van Bramer were in favor of bringing Amazon to Long Island City, now that the deal has been announced, they're looking at it a little differently and seeing it maybe as an opportunity to make a point about what we offer to corporations versus what we offer to local mom and pop businesses or to the taxpayers themselves.
We're talking with Henry Grabar right now, a staff writer for Slate, and we're looking back at the Amazon HQ2 contest and the offers of tax incentives that came in from hundreds of cities.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you think luring jobs with public money is a good idea? Do you think Wisconsin's deal with tech manufacturer Foxconn will ultimately pay off? Will it set a precedent for more companies to look for similar agreements? And if you are concerned, do you think there should be ways of preventing bidding wars for jobs in the future? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org.
We'll pick up the conversation in just a bit. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. We're picking up our talk right now with Henry Grabar, staff writer at Slate. We're talking about the value of public incentives for private companies in the wake of Amazon's HQ2 contest.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of using tax money to convince a private company to relocate or stay in your area? Is it a useful tool or something cities and states should avoid offering? How do you think Wisconsin's deal with Foxconn will play out? And do you think there's a better way to attract jobs from big companies? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@WPR.org. And Henry, one of the arguments for spending the money to attract these big companies is that they create spin-off development. So jobs and businesses to support something like Foxconn or Amazon and its employees. Are those advantages something that should be considered when deciding whether these incentive packages are worth it?
Oh, definitely. I think that for tech jobs in particular, there's a sense that there's a very, very high multiplier effect. And that for every, you know, I think the Berkeley economist Enrico Moretti, who's written this book, The Geography of Jobs, and he talks about the multiplier effect from tech jobs, and he estimates that each new tech job ultimately creates five more outside the tech industry in the long run. And so that's a case where, I'll tell you, every government economic development official knows this. And this is the logic that they're using when they offer those subsidies, because they think so much is going to come through. But there's a lot of problems with the system generally. One, states and cities get outmaneuvered by savvy companies. Two, so they make, you know, bad offers. Two, even if the offer is decent, the companies don't follow through. And I know that's been an issue for Foxconn with some of their other deals, but it's been an issue for subsidies across the board where you know, a sports team or company will relocate and they'll say they're creating X number of jobs, and it turns out the jobs don't pay that much, and some of the employees wind up coming from overseas and don't actually live in the state, and so it doesn't end up working out the way you hope. And then the last thing, I guess, is just saying that, you know, a subsidy is not necessarily the most efficient way to attract those jobs. So, you know, given that we want tech jobs and we want high-paying jobs, and I would say that, you know, actually that's, in some communities, that's not even a given. But let's assume that. You could argue that spending that money on a new computer science lab at the local university would, in the long run, produce a larger cluster of homegrown talent and potentially a more organic system that wouldn't be dependent on these kinds of offers and these kinds of, competitions to lure in outside companies. So those would be the arguments against it. But you're right that would be the logic that the economic development officials would use to justify this kind of plan.
Let's go to the phones, and Cindy in Appleton is up first. Hi, Cindy.
Hello. Well, I would think these tax credits are basically stealing from our education system, and I think an educated populace or educated public is, you know, where your workers come from. That should be what attracts these kind of companies, and I think a quality of life is also an issue that should attract these companies, and accessibility by highways and the road systems and et cetera, et cetera. It shouldn't be about tax credits. It should be about what they get when they get here.
Thanks for that call, Cindy. And Henry, that was something I was wondering about. When companies are weighing where they might want to go, how do they rank those things? Because they can get a great tax incentive, but if there isn't the infrastructure there, or if there isn't a guarantee of qualified workers, is there any incentive big enough to get them there?
No, there's not. Companies, it turns out, are not as responsive to tax regimes as politicians think they are. Neither, for that matter, are rich people. It turns out that both people and companies locate where they think they're going to thrive, and that depends on quality of life and the local labor pool and the infrastructure and all sorts of other things. But often the local tax structure is not the biggest factor, and I think Amazon is really the best proof of that we've seen, because the company located in two of the nation's most expensive housing markets, where they're going to have to pay higher wages to compete, where their workers are going to have to spend more on housing, and they located in the places that offered, relatively speaking, a fairly small subsidy, especially when you compare to places like, you know, Philadelphia or Montgomery County, Maryland. And those are not, you know, we're not talking about locating, you know, in western Nebraska or something like that. You know, Philadelphia is a big city with a small tech sector, and it's just down the road from New York and not far from Washington either. So if anything, I think that Cindy's point is proven by this Amazon decision, which is that they decided to go to the place where they felt they were going to find the most talented workers.
Let's go back to the phones, and John in Green Bay is up. Hi, John.
Hi there. So a couple points. The same people who always want government out of their lives turn around and are right there asking government to get them, give them a boost in business, and that's pretty frustrating. But my other point is, what if you looked at it more like, I have $1 billion and I'm going to invest that $1 billion. What would make more sense? Putting it in one stock of one company that might even have a little bit of a sketchy history in the Foxconn situation? Or what if you took that $1 billion and gave 1,000 companies who have a rock-solid business model and a track record of growth, if you gave them each $1 million and said, you know, have at it? To me, a diversified investment makes a little more sense. And I just think it's, and then otherwise they get too big to fail, And there's no way we're going to ever back out of this deal once we're that much, you know, committed that much.
Thanks for that, John. So, Henry, an idea of spreading the wealth quite literally and maybe investing in some local up-and-coming businesses.
Yeah, I think John's idea is a really good one. And one of the reasons that we don't see that happen more often is because politicians want to have a newspaper headline. They want to cut a ribbon. They want to get the kind of attention that Scott Walker got in Wisconsin and with President Trump, and that Andrew Cuomo has gotten in New York with this Amazon deal. And to them, it feels like, you know, it's almost like, you know, you just, it's a one-stop shop for getting all these jobs. And the price in many cases is passed down throughout the year. So in the case of Amazon, for example, the subsidies are coming out of state tax revenue 6, 8, 10 years in the future. And so in reality, the line item on the state budget right now is nothing. So I think that is the, you know, that's what they see, and it looks good to them. But I agree ultimately that a more diversified economy, one with smaller homegrown businesses, one that provides opportunities for entrepreneurs, workforce training programs. I mean, I think but the research shows that is probably the more sustainable economic model than going from mega deal to mega deal, forfeiting future tax revenue.
And Henry, briefly, because we need to wrap up, it feels, sitting here talking with you, like this is kind of like an arms race. Even if participants don't want to keep upping the ante, they also don't feel like they can safely be the ones to pull back. Briefly, is there anything that's going to stop this level of competition on incentives?
Yeah, I think that the best chance is that people get loud enough and upset enough about the deals that are being made, and they say, we don't want to do this anymore. I think the most optimistic signs that I've seen come from local metro areas where various counties and cities in one place, so like in the Denver metro area in Colorado or in the Phoenix metro area in Arizona, are saying to each other, all right, let's all basically agree that we're not going to try and steal companies from across the county line or the city line or whatever it is. And that's
And we're going to have to leave it there. Henry, thanks so much for joining us. Henry Grabar joined us to talk about incentives for companies to move to a community. This is Central Time.